I'm talking about prayer. How do you view your prayer? Is your perspective narrow? Just about a few things that are so absolutely critical in your life? Or are your prayers really all-encompassing, something on the order of what you might find in the Psalms? And you know, you can find so many topics that people pray about, or prayers that have been offered to God in the book of Psalms. We believe, all of us, I think, that God does answer prayers. In fact, I would say that that is a recurring theme in the Bible. There are obviously remarkable examples in the Word of God of answered prayers, of not only that of individuals, but of nations. And you can, you know, pick out any number of examples there. But how about your prayers and my prayers? Does God listen when we pray to us? I mean, sure, we know the giants of the Old Testament and the New Testament and all those records that God heard prayers. And even in some cases, God has said that before they ask, I will answer. So there is a perspective there that we would like to attain, I'm sure. What we actually pray about is important. It's important, of course, for us, but it is also important for God. Excuse me. And I'd like to offer just a very short outline in this sermonette about some things that we should consider to make our prayers really more effective in our lives. Hence the title that Mr. Rank read to you, and I'd like to use part of those words in the title as a way to outline this. And I will begin with prayer for the past. You mean because I didn't do this or that last week, I can pray about that? No, that's not what I'm talking about. A better example might be found in the book of Nehemiah chapter 9, which I won't turn to, but just refer to for your own curiosity in the future. But this is a very lengthy prayer on the part of the nation of Judah after they had returned from captivity. And they were repenting for the actions of even their fathers, going back generations, who had been rebellious to God. But they were just carrying forward something that Daniel had spoken about. And his prayer is actually recorded in the book of Daniel. And I'd like to pick a few verses out of chapter 9, verses 4 through 6, to just highlight some of what he said in terms of his prayer and how he was dealing with the past, which is my point here, my first point. I'll go to chapter 9 of Daniel in verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. Daniel took on a responsibility for giving account to God for the actions of rebellious generations that had gone before. Now, let me make this just a little bit more specific for us. Luke 18, verse 13. It comes to the point. Why was Daniel even addressing those things, and why did the nation of Judah address those things? It's very similar. It doesn't involve quite the same amount of time going back, but in Luke 18, we find the example here of the tax collector. In Luke 18, verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So my first point is this regarding prayer for the past. Don't neglect to repent of sins. So my point then, to summarize this first point, is don't neglect to repent of sins. Don't just go to your knees and start praying without giving account for the problems you have. You know, it's easy for us to forget them. What we need is for God to forgive them. And that means we have to deal with what has gone on in our lives in the past. And once we repent of them, of course, God removes them. But let's make sure we do that. Prayer for the present is my second point. I'll begin by just making this statement that Jesus Christ prayed. How often do we find references in the Gospels of how Jesus Christ went to a place alone and prayed? You know, he had religious customs in his life. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood to read, as it says, as was his custom. But he prayed. Luke 6, verse 12 is an example of Jesus Christ praying. Luke 6 and verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus Christ was facing an absolutely momentous choice, or several choices, in terms of choosing disciples who he named apostles. And we know from the rest of the record of the Word of God that they continued to play and will continue to play a tremendous role in the plan of God and in the family of God in the future. But remember that Jesus Christ prayed about those things. And when it was really crucial, about the time he was to be sacrificed to give his life on behalf of us for our sins, he prayed fervently and probably faced that day of his crucifixion without much sleep, because he kept everything in front of God to gain the strength that he needed. So as events come up in our lives, brethren, we need to put them before God. And, you know, I'm talking about the near horizon and not the far horizon. That will be the third point. But the things that are out in front of us, the current things we're dealing with, we need to pray about it. You remember the example that Mr. Link brought up about preparing for the Standing Watch broadcast. And he said one time he thought, well, I'll just go ahead and do the Standing Watch program. And he hadn't prayed first. He said he made that mistake only once. And I certainly understand that. I know some of us who, I'll give you a personal example, as we put the update together, following the example that Mr. Link reminded us of, I said, you know, I need to pray. I have a certain role in it of just collating what's put together and then forwarding it to the next person that does some work on it. But ask God to bless what I'm doing, that I can do his work properly. That's just one of, you know, countless innumerable examples we could refer to. But prayer for the present. In James 4, verse 15, let's take this adage in the second point, because we might say we're going to do this, that, or the other thing. We might have plans and dreams and want to do type things. But here's the basis by which we should proceed. In James 4 and verse 15, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Pray by first seeking God's will. Seek to find favor with him first, and then go do what you need to do. And you can also say, God, give me favor also, not only with you, but with those that I will be dealing with. It's important. A third point, prayer for the future. Brethren, I said it before, our prayers do matter. And they don't go and fall on deaf ears. Acts 10, verses 1 through 4 gives us a kind of a proof text of that very thing. And you have to ask yourself, what would have been the results if Cornelius had not been faithful. Of course, someone else would have probably had the opportunity. But let's read Acts 10, verses 1 through 4. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Is that the end of his story? Hardly. In the ninth hour of the day, in verse 3, he saw clearly a vision, in a vision, an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. All this time he had been praying, faithfully drawing closer to God through those prayers, to God guiding him in ways he probably didn't even understand at the time, but how mightily he was used. Luke 21:36. Now, I gave you an example of Cornelius, who prayed continuously for something, and he didn't even know how he was going to be used, but the future came upon him in ways that are remarkable, and we don't know what our prayers, how our prayers might be used because of the relationship we develop with God. Luke 21, verse 36, though, is even more specific, and it's something Jesus Christ not only is suggesting here, he's commanding us to do it. If we have ears to hear, we will be doing this. Acts 21 and verse 36, Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So I ask you, when is the last time that you obeyed Jesus Christ in this regard, in this specific thing that he told us to pray about? When he says pray always, obviously it's something that should be consistent in our prayer life. And that's prayer for the future. And there are other future events. We can ask God about all kinds of things, about making sure that we will be counted worthy for his kingdom, for eternal life, and the future that he has promised. So in this third point, praying for the future, pray for what God offers. And there are a lot of things that he's offered for us. Be a part of his plan in that way. Now, I have a final point, and it's in Luke 17. And it's not really, it's really a point that overlays the first three. It's something that should accompany all of the points I have been making here about past, present, and future. And that is simply this: be thankful in your prayers to God. Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go show yourselves to the priest, which is the Old Testament admonition or direction, what they should do. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Interesting how faith is applied there, of giving thanks to God. It's part of how we can enrich our own faith. So thank God for all of his blessings, past, present, future, and yes, even the things we may not even see now that are probably has an even dawned on us what might be out there. But we need to have a relationship with God that is of a broad spectrum so that we are really covering our Christian development. And that's the objective that I have today to talk to you, had in bringing this anyway, is to make sure that we pray in a broad scope and really develop ourselves and become people who would be known for praying and moving the work of God, especially forward, as we used to hear ministers say, on our knees, because we put it before God and He will help us.